You are listening to episode 99.
And I also would like to introduce today the Okiki Video Bootcamp. Yes, I will be launching a course, which I will have a wait list in the show notes. And I will be launching some group coaching as well. I know there has been a lot of requests lately of people wanting to learn how can they create content for their own brands. And so I'm looking forward to bringing you along on the journey with that. If that's something that you've wanted to gain skills and techniques on, this will be for you. You'll learn systems on how to create content effectively and efficiently and have more time for yourself in the process while reaching your clients. Again, you can find the information for the Okiki Video Bootcamp in the show notes below. Dr. Hannah Chukwu is a distinguished scholar with graduate degrees from Nigeria and Saskatchewan and is a multifaceted individual whose impactful contributions span various domains. She is a writer, she is an entrepreneur, she is also a coach for nutrition through Riversdale Pharmacy, and she co-published a book in 2023 with 12 other authors called Courage, Change, and Faith, Inspiring Narratives of Black Women Leaders. So I'm very excited to have her on the podcast, where she shares knowledge on a range of topics, including immigrating, finding your space and your passion, personal finance, being an author, entrepreneur, and more. By the way, if you are enjoying the Okiki podcast, be sure to leave us a rating and like a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and let us know how are you enjoying the podcast today. The Okiki podcast is also brought to you by Okiki Consulting, where we empower brands to create strategic video content. So whether it's creating a content strategy, video editing, or a full video production in English and French, you can get those services with Okiki Consulting. And now on with the episode.
You are listening to the sounds of inspiration. Welcome to the Okiki Podcast, where we make inspirational people known. Brought to you by your host, Fiona Obian. Everybody, and welcome to the Okiki podcast. And I get to interview a very special guest, someone I know personally who's an inspiration to me and has been an inspiration to many others as well. Her name is Dr. Hannah Chukwu, and she is a PhD, a Fulbright scholar, international speaker at Urbana Campaign and International Christian Student Conferences, as well as a numerous academic conferences. She has a CUT and TESL. She has published in many peer-reviewed journals, as well as she is a representative, independent representative for Primerica. She also leads a program with Ideal Protein Protocol, and she's one of the featured authors in the new Black Women Leaders book that was published in February 2023. And just many things under her belt, thriving entrepreneur, and I'm just honored to have her on the podcast today. So thank you so much for being on the Okiki podcast with us today.
Thank you, Fiona. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
And if you don't mind sharing with us, because there's a lot of pieces to your very unique and very exciting entrepreneurial journey. So where did it all start for you? Were you always dreaming of being an author, an entrepreneur, or did this kind of come along your path as life went along? If you don't mind sharing your educational and career background with our audience today.
Okay, thank you so much for this honor. I appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today. So, yes, to your question, I would say that I am born an entrepreneur and I love to write and read. So that's like my passion. So I would even write even if I'm not making money. So that shows you how passionate I am about that. So about being an entrepreneur, as I said, I was born an entrepreneur. That's what I would say. When I was, I just finished my elementary school back in Nigeria. And then I was waiting to get into high school. As we will say those days, you get into high school or secondary school. So my sister gave me money and said, okay, rather than just wait for this few months before you get into high school, why don't you start a little business? And at that time, I was just barely 12 years old. So I started my own business. And what kind of business is it? It was just a retail business. You know, I buy bread from the suppliers and I sell to people. I was hawking it, you know, and you know what happened when I calculated at the end of the 2-3 months, I made, if you calculate my profit, it is 240% I made. That would tell you how enterprising it was. And I was the only person who was doing this. It's my business. Uh-huh. So that would show you. So I have a passion to do things for myself, to do things different from just being receiving instruction from people and carrying out their wishes. I'm a good follower, mind you, but at the same time, I like to be independent and see what I can contribute. So that ignited my passion that I could do something. So, and then about my education, by the time I finished high school, I wanted to be a medical doctor. That's what I wanted to be. So I was in science, and good thing was that I was combining science subjects as well as art subject. So from high school, I took the first jump and I did not do well. I thought the world was collapsing, but that was when God caught my attention and I decided to focus on the art subject. So I wanted to be a lawyer. And then at that time, you know, I was 17 plus. So it was like, if you become a lawyer, because it's a 4-year program in Nigeria, you'll be a lawyer at the age of 21. So my advisor at that time said it wasn't good enough, that I should first of all get a degree in English. And then after I've got the degree in English, I can do a direct entry and get to the degree of law. Because why law? It's because I love justice. You know, when I see people being oppressed, it ignites my passion. I want to do something for them. I hate injustice with all my heart. So in the book I wrote, I talked about defining moment in my leadership life. You find out that one of the defining moments was when I tried to challenge the status quo, where I felt that people are being oppressed. So I took it upon myself that I am going to challenge that. So if you read my chapter, you'll see exactly that. So that would tell you who I am. I don't like injustice. I don't want people to be oppressed at all. I will do anything to support them. So that was why I wanted to be a lawyer, because as far as I'm concerned, oh, if somebody is being oppressed, I can come in, I can help the person, I can set the person free. But God had another plan. So by the time I finished, and I scored quite high in my jam, which would have gotten me into law. But by the time I decided, okay, let me do the first degree first. So I did the first degree of English and I did not leave anymore to get into law. So I continued in literature. I continued in English. So that's my background, and it has really opened a lot for me because I had the opportunity to go to US as a Fulbright, as a junior Fulbright scholar when I was pursuing my PhD program back in Nigeria, University of Nigeria in Nsukka. So I had the opportunity to be at the University of California, Davis, and I also spent about 9 months at the University of Wisconsin-Madison in their Afro-American studies. So I was able to, you know, at that time, get to read more and research more and write more. And why did I choose the path of writing? There's something Alice Walker said. She said, I write because I write the kind of books I want to read, you see. So part of my passion is that there's one book I read, The Long Claws of Fate by Uche Bialongo. That book made me upset, very upset. Why? Because the guy there, it was not his fault what happened to his life. And this guy was praying. But eventually, the long claws of fate caught up with him and he did not make progress. I said, no, that is injustice. I call it, you know, there's something we call poetic justice. I said, this person must have poetic justice. So I'm going to rewrite that story. So my first novel was to rewrite that trajectory to show that there's always a way out. I know fate is there. I also believe in faith in God. That with faith, things can change. So when I wrote my first book, actually, those stories I shared in my first novel, which is Just for Mercy. So the stories I shared, they are real. So I said, let's tell stories that are real, that will change the trajectory of that long clause of faith. But I thank Uche Bialong because her story inspired me. I know that could be the story of some people, but I said, no, I know more of more positive story than negative. So I am into writing, and then I did not finish my story. So by the time I came back after my Fulbright scholar, God spoke clearly to me that I should write. So I'm yet to fulfill that. I'm just beginning. All right.
That's amazing. And so it's really interesting to hear that you were starting in one direction with some very strong ideas of who you may be, but as the journey had it, you got dropped into another pathway altogether, and that opened up a whole world of possibility and opportunity, and you felt something that you're called to do as well. So fast forward to you finishing your PhD and all of that, and finding yourself in North America as well. Where did the continuation begin then of being an entrepreneur, being an author, and opening these different kind of pathways of growing your own business, your own thing? And were you always going to do entrepreneurship in these capacities full time, or were you thinking you would do career work for a while before you kind of stepped into these multiple businesses that you now run?
Thank you so much for that question. It's a $1 million question. Anyway, so yes, back in Nigeria, my husband was lecturing in pharmaceutical technology, and I was lecturing in the use of English. So we are both senior lecturers. So if you consider that, what senior lecturer mean in this context would be like associate professor. So that was what we were. So back there, even as we are teaching in the university, we had our own business by the side, you see. So we had our own farm, our poultry business. And that business was so good. You know, in Nigeria, when you want to do something, you want to buy a car, you pay cash and all that. So it helped us to do a lot of things beyond our salary. So you see, we have that mindset of being in business. So when coming to Canada and then doing another graduate program and so on and so forth, you know, my husband had the opportunity of teaching in the University of Saskatchewan a little bit. And I was also working as a research assistant and working as a teaching assistant and so on. But it came to a point that my husband said, I want to be in the field. I want to do community practice. And then he started pursuing it. And I also worked in many capacities. You know, I worked as workplace liaison coordinator for the ELT, Enhanced Language Training Program. I worked as a career and employment consultant for the government of Saskatchewan. And I also worked as ESL coordinator at the Global Gathering Place. So I worked in all these capacities. But we found that we want to also have our own. Why do you want to have your own? You want to have your own because you want to be able to implement the changes. You want to be able to implement the help that you could render to people. You want to be in charge, and those good ideas that you have, you don't want to be seeking permission, because I know when my husband was managing a pharmacies for some organization, he had, even if he had very good idea, he had to pass it through, and sometimes it doesn't hold. And even when I was coordinating the program, I thank God I brought in good ideas, very good ideas, and I established things to make things easier for people, so that some of the things I established are still using it up to today. Because, you know, I like to innovate and make change and make an impact. So now it came to the point that we want to, my husband wanted to start his own pharmacy. So we had to go about, and that led me to how I got involved with Primerica. So in the process, of course, he went to the bank, he wrote his business proposal and all that. And I supported him, you know, I want him, because this is his passion. And I said, good for him, I will support him. So we were ready to start, but the bank said, oh, you don't qualify. You don't have equity. You don't have, you have debts. And remember that time we have two homes, you know, and all our mortgages are from the bank, and we have all our investment with the bank, but they said, we can't help you because you don't have any equity. And that was it. Bye. And then we left. So it was in the process that I was at a superstore, and somebody accosted me and said to me, oh, do you know about this thing about finances and other? I said, no, I'm interested in learning. So I called my husband, we went in, and that's how we learned how we could get rid of our debt. We'll learn how we can build our equity. So I joined Primerica for education because I want to learn. I'm someone that is passionate about learning. What I don't know, I want to learn. I want to become better. You know, that's my passion. I don't care whether you think you look down on me. No, I want to learn it. So that was how I joined, and I learned all those things. And that same year, we were able to get rid of our debt. It was like a miracle. We got rid of our debt just from what I learned. And my husband was able to build his equity. And that year, he was able to get back, using RRSP to get back from the government, $26,000, you know? So from there, we wiped off all our debt, and my husband was ready to start the business. So when he started the business, two of us jumped into it. So that's the entrepreneurship aspect of it in Canada. And since we started our business, we have been so passionate about mentoring other people, because I knew what it was like when we came. You know, you can't get a job because you don't have Canadian experience. How do you get the Canadian experience without a job? So we now host work placement for like a SIA. We host a lot of work placement for their PAC program and for their LIGHT program. And then we also, like new people coming into Canada, if they approach us, however we could manage, we give them the opportunity to learn so that they will grow. So we now have the Riversdale Pharmacy. So it is ours. We are building it, and we want to be the best community pharmacy in Saskatoon. So we are doing our best. So that's how it went. So you can see again, I was on career path, then something happened, and here I find myself. So as I am working with my husband in that business, I'm also expanding in the sense that I want to pursue my writing seriously. You know, I've written papers, you know, like up to until 2021. Every year, I must have a publication in peer-reviewed journals, contribute a chapter. But now I'm trying to focus more on telling stories. You know, I like novel. I like to tell stories because stories are real. Like Chinua Achebe said, he said that it is stories that give the readers the memory they should have. Because if not, we'll forget. So it's good when you hear stories, it inspires you. Oh, this person did this, I can also do this. And you know, story will pull you in. So I want to give myself to writing, but you know, I also want to build my Primerica business as a base. So for that money, we wish to do all these publications because it's not easy. And remember the first book I published, it cost a lot, I'm telling you. Traditional, because we went through traditional publishing. We went through all this big aspect of book launch that we had up to 300 people, we fed them. So it cost me a lot of money. So I want to make more money, and I will going to write more and more to inspire people, to tell them there are things that people have done that you could also do that would take you out of your situation and put you where you're supposed to be?
Yeah, I find that really incredible. I think the combination and what the pattern I'm seeing is that there's always a mindset of like, I'm doing my career, but what can I also be building for myself at the same time? And what I think is really fascinating about your story is that wherever the environments you're in, you're looking at what's there, what do we need to do? What do I need to personally invest in myself to do to create the changes that I want to see and that I can continue to fuel my passions to create impact? I really appreciate that you brought up the point of how, you know, coming from countries like Nigeria, and a lot of countries are like this, they're more cash-based societies. So you had your lecturing, but you also had a cash-based business that was quite successful there. But to do business in North America is a different ballgame. There's a lot of credit-based systems and a lot of things that then create a new format of learning how to show you have the money, the equity out here. Along those lines, now that you've come to a place that you and your husband have now built, started your own pharmacy, which is incredible as immigrants, and also that you have launched your book and have also co-authored a book with Black women leaders. I guess, where did some of these that you brought, that education was what brought you to your Primerica business? In terms of the other pathways that you're interested in pursuing and the other types of businesses, like being an author and Ideal Protein, how did that come into your fold of your entrepreneurial journey? And where do you see all of this going in this empire that you are trying to build as an individual moving forward?
Thank you so much, Fee. You are really pulling the ideas together. Thank you. That's brilliant of you. All right. So now, you see, it's like whatever I am to do or be, I will kind of have an experience of it in a way. And in trying to find solution, it now blossoms into something, you know, that is significant. So talking about coaching, like in our pharmacy, we have Ideal Protein protocol, which I am the coach for, and that I've been, you know, working on it. How did it happen? When I came to North America, I was one slim lady. I already had 4 kids, but I was so slim, you know, and, you know, just slim. My weight at that time, you know, was very, very normal. I won't tell you my weight, but if you check my BMI, it's just in the middle, you know, where the normal thing would be for my, so very, very good. But before I knew it, I blew up to the extent that I became obese class 2. Can you imagine? So I was praying for a solution. And you see, I'm a strong believer that there is nothing that God does not have solution for, no matter what. Yeah, I believe in that. He will just tell you something if you ask him, he God of ideas. So I was praying and my kids used to say to me, Mom, you pray about everything, including losing weight. I said, yes, I'm looking for solution. And I tried several times. I tried the cabbage soup. I tried the Weight Watchers, which worked. Weight Watchers worked for me because in 5 months or so, or 6 months, I lost like 28 pounds. So it worked, you know. But it was not sustainable for me. So in the process, we started this pharmacy, and I knew that pharmacy has, there are some pharmacies that will have franchise with the ID protein. So, but what opened my eyes, so I was telling my husband, let's start this. But what opened my eyes was that I was in the pharmacy with my husband one day, because that time we were all the full-time staff, you know, with our children, because, you know, when you're starting a business, you start with yourself until you can build and employ other people. So we just had one staff and then the whole family. So this lady walked in from BC. So she said, oh, I'm looking for ID protein products. And I said, oh, no, we don't have it. She said, why? Why don't you have it? And then she pulled her skirt and said to me, you see, I lost 40 pounds. What are you people waiting that most farmers say will have it? I said, okay. So as she left, I said to my husband, we have to get this. We have to get this program. And also I was interested. Remember, I was obese class 2. Can you imagine? I was weighing 220 pounds. That was my weight. That was, and I was not happy because I said, this is not me. So that was how I got into it. So you can see, in seeking for a solution for myself, I have also been a solution to other people. So many people have come through the program and it has helped them tremendously. Those people, like one that used to be diabetic, the program helped and corrected that. One that used to wake up every night with pain, the program corrected. So the program has done tremendous things. And then when you talk about other aspects of what I like, I want to mentor people, you know, because when God has blessed you and helped you, you learn some things. The blessing will go further when you share it, when you reach out to other people. I don't believe in this idea of that because I suffered, people will suffer. No, because I found it difficult, I tried to make things easier for people. That is the way to go. You know, like when I was a ESL coordinator, supervising the teachers, I see that the reporting, the government report is such, it's a lot. So what did I do? I established templates. That is just a plug in, and you are done. And then when I see that orientation was difficult, I established teacher's handbook. I created that just to make things easier for people. And they are still using it up to this day and sharing it with other organizations. So I try to make things easier for people. That is my passion. And it gives me joy because how was I brought up? My father was a clergyman. And we love to help people. Like I see my parents, they love generosity. They love to help other people. So that has been my passion. So I want to mentor all other people. So to your question being, I want to grow more, have a group of young people I can mentor. And even as I am, in fact, I'm also thinking of something. I'm saying that I need to establish things for grandmothers because I will soon also be a grandmother, you know, so that they can see how they can reach out. So I call it 50 and advancing, you know, 50 and advancing. It's still coming, many ideas. You know, and I love to help women because I see sometimes women, they are, except they really understand and they are very focused. Sometimes they have a lot of visions. They have a lot of ideas, but because of other responsibilities, they never get to develop themselves. So that's why I like to work with women. So these are still aspects that are coming, but I want to see, for at this stage, I want to establish my business in the financial services so that it will give me the base with which to now build on other platforms. And my writing is coming alongside. Like what I've told myself is that it is good to tell your story. So I am planning that with time, you know, as soon as I start again publishing, that at least 1 or 2 years I should bring out a book. 1 or 2 years I should bring out a book. So by so doing, I would have satisfied myself that I have done my bit.
Along those lines, what are you visioning and where you're going for the future? If someone were to come to you today and say they were interested in starting their own business and they have seen your journey, your family's journey, and they want to make it out here in North America and try and get themselves established, what advice would you give to them?
Yes, thank you for that question. Yes, I have thought about what you said, and I found out that there's so many people with ideas. You know, this passage of the scripture that said that multitudes are in the valley of decision. You know, they are just there. They have these ideas. But you know what I will always say? This is not Nigeria. In Nigeria, you can just pull things together here and there and start business small like that. I know in North America, you can do that. But you see, we have the tax system, you know, we have the tax system. You might call yourself a small entrepreneur. Government is already interested in that little you're making, and they will tax you. They will tax you seriously. So I will tell people to start business in North America, you need to understand money. You need to understand how money works. You need to understand how in making that money, you keep yourself out of debt, because debt is real. Like in Nigeria, we don't suffer as much from debt as we suffer here. So if you don't take care, the taxes, the debts will take away whatever you make. So I tell people the first place to start, understand money. Just like my passion drove me to go to Primerica to learn something. So that even if I did not make millions, at least I have learned something that will help me to keep the money I make. right? To keep the money I make. And I have also learned something that will help me not to be in debt, because when you are in debt, it's like making money and pouring it into a bag with a hole. And also, it has also opened my eyes so that it's not everybody that comes and tell me, oh, this is the financial product, buy it, I buy it. No, I have the knowledge. I can look and see whether it works for me. Because in making money is as important as keeping the money. You know, you don't get rich because you made money. You get rich because you kept what you made. And if you allow certain kinds of insurance to take away that money from you, you will be nowhere. So you need to understand about money. So that's what I would encourage you. And get yourself mentors. There are people who are there to mentor you. And also open your mind and get ideas. Because there's something I've discovered in this country. You have several helps. You have several resources. But if you don't know, you don't know. So how would you know? Be open. Ask questions and allow people to share ideas with you. And then you will, from there, get the one that will work for you, because not every idea that is for you. And the door will open. That's what I believe. So you need that knowledge, because you know, probably said my people perish for lack of knowledge. What you don't know, you don't know. Can you imagine my husband and I? Between the two of us, we were making $240,000 a year. Is that not an abomination that making $240,000 a year, we are still in debt, that the bank will not have anything to do with us? Is that not crazy? It is very bad and a shame. As I'm saying, it is really a shame. How can you be making that amount of money and you're in debt? It's ignorance. We didn't know what to do. You make that money on paper, the money is not yours. It goes away. So that is my passion. When you want to start a business, pray. Ask questions, learn about money, and then you can start small, and that small you make, you can keep it from unnecessary taxes and unnecessary debts, and you'll get rich.
Thank you so much, Dr. Hannah Chukwu, for sharing your story, your vision, and your passion today. Where can the audience find you, and where should they connect with you if they want to learn more about you, business, your books, and more?
My book, the Just for Mercy book, yes. I'm rebuilding my website. I have my landing page for my business, and I have my Instagram. I have my Facebook. You can follow me on Facebook. Every Thursday, I do a live, and I want to give the credit to Finyi. Finyi, you inspired me. She said to me, oh, you have a very good program. Why don't you choose a day of a week whereby you come, you talk about that program. So thank you so much, Finyi, for that. So I have my Facebook every Thursday. You can catch me 2 p.m. or earlier. I'm there doing Facebook Live about the program. And my other handles, you can search me up, Hannah A.B. Chukwu. You will always find me, you know, I am there. But my website is being rebuilt. And once it gets rebuilt, everything will be linked together. But you can still follow me on my Facebook. And then, of course, for our Riversdale Pharmacy, you can always find us. Finyi helped us build our website. So you can also find me there. So Finyi is a well-talented lady. She inspires people in her own little ways, but with great impact. So you can find me there. And of course, my email and everything, you know, I can also supply that to you if you wish.
Well, thank you so much. As you can see, over the years, you've done a lot of different kind of projects together. So just thank you for being on the podcast, always being a source of inspiration and encouragement to myself and many others. I think in addition to that, if you haven't already seen the Black Woman Leaders book, definitely also grab that so you can hear about Hannah's story as well. And thank you for sharing your knowledge and wisdom on the Okiki podcast today.
Thank you, Finyi. I appreciate the opportunity, and I thank the audience for listening, and it's my pleasure. God bless you all.